Good morning. How is everyone? Amen. Hallelujah. Good to see you. I'm glad that you're here this morning. I'm glad that we get to be in the house of the Lord together, the family of God. Amen. Julie, good to have you here this morning. Hallelujah. If you would open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12 for a text. And while you're turning there, I was up a little after 3 o'clock this morning praying in the Spirit, and I kept hearing over and over in my spirit that the Lord, He wants us to unload some things in our lives. And He wants us to unload those things because then He said if we unload those things, we can unlock His best. Because as we look at Scripture today that the Spirit of God spoke in my spirit, you and I, we know what the Scripture says. It's the Word of God. It's that truth that makes us free. So but we've got to empty out, unload some things to be able to take in the truth, to take in, to load up with the Word of God. And so I want to be unloaded from everything, every care, every weight, of this world, don't you? And I want to load up with the truth of the Word of God. And as we do that, it's going to change everything. See, it's a command. It's Old Testament command, New Testament command. Psalms 55:22, I believe it is. The Bible says, cast your burdens on the Lord. You know, we've talked about that many times. That word cast is not a strong enough word. It literally means to pick it up and to throw it with your might. New Testament, 5:7, casting all your cares upon the Lord because He careth for you. Same thing, to throw. You know, this morning in the Spirit, I know that a lot of you are carrying a lot of things. And I'm carrying a lot of things. And I want to do what God says, don't you? I want to be light and free. I want to be able to enjoy life and to be a blessing to help other people enjoy life. You can't do that if you're burdened down. I can't do that if I'm burdened down. All right. Hebrews chapter 12, let's read the first three verses for a text. If you're there, say amen. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, highlight it in your mind's eye, write it down on the table of your heart, put it, mark beside it in your Bible or on your Bible app. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Aren't you glad? Brother Larry, would you pray? Yes. Yes. Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Larry. Thank you for honoring the word. Be sure and be in prayer for those who are not here this morning. They would be here, those that you know very well, but they're battling different issues in their bodies, different situations and circumstances. So hold them up. Amen. And, God's a mighty God. There's no distance in the Spirit. He can reach them, in a moment's time with your prayer of faith, with our prayer of faith. Amen. All right, so I want you to notice here, and I want you to be so encouraged, that the Word of God says that as you and I are in a place and a position of looking to Jesus, that all of a sudden there comes a revelation of some things in our life. And as we look to Jesus, that revelation is that Jesus, He took everything that you would ever deal with, everything I would ever deal with, and He carried it to His cross. And we know this, but we need to put ourselves in remembrance, and we need to practice the Word of God. We need to apply it in our life. And so if we can see what Jesus done on the cross and see that everything that this world, everything that the devil would try to put on you and I, that Jesus has done, carried it to the cross, if we can look to Him and we can say, Lord, You're my author, You're my finisher. In other words, He saved you. This morning, you're saved. You're bought by the very blood of the Lamb, the precious blood of the Lamb. And He authored your salvation from the foundation of the world. The Bible says that Jesus was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world for your sin, my sin. So He authored all of that, and He knows how to bring deliverance. He knows how to bring victory. He knows how to bring peace in our life this morning. Amen. And so I've got to look to that rather than looking to what the devil is showing me, what the flesh is showing me, and be built up and encouraged in Him. Now, notice what he said there in the middle part of that first verse. He said that we need to make a note of this cloud of witnesses. To be able to lay aside the weight in your life, we look back first, and then we look to the cross. Notice that's the emphasis that he gave us in these first two verses. So we look back. So in your own life, you look back at where you were before salvation. Look back to the sin that was in your life. Look back to the burdens that was in your life. Look back to the controlling part of the devil, and then laugh. Because Jesus took care of all of that, amen? But as you look back at that in your own life, he tells us we need to look back in this 11th chapter and just put ourselves in remembrance of a few things. And I'm just going to hit a couple. I'm not going to hold you long. Just hit a couple things that will help you and I to see that in this world, you're going to have tribulation. In this world, you're going to have problems. But be of good cheer, right? John 16:33. Jesus has overcome this world. So he said, think about in this cloud of witnesses. Just look at, for instance, we're not going to read it, but in verse number 7, he names Noah. And he names Noah and talks about what Noah did by faith. Aren't you glad we've got the great account of, in the book of Genesis, Genesis 6 and 7 and 8 about Noah and his obedience to the Lord. But we also see that after great obedience, here comes situations and circumstance. So you and I, you need to be on the lookout. I need to be on the lookout after God's greatest victory in our life. Because after God's greatest victory, that's when we can make the greatest mistakes. Because what did Noah do? He planted a vineyard and he got drunk, and in his drunken state, the door was opened up for his son, to do the, an horrible act and all of these things. So what I'm saying is, you look at Noah and you see the great things, you see the bad things, but the Bible says by faith. So that you and I, what we want to look at Noah this morning, we want to say, Lord, I'm going to overcome, and I'm going to be in the place where I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to do what the Bible says. The Bible says, don't be drunk on wine, but be drunk in what? In the Holy Ghost. Be drunk in the Spirit. And so you and I, we got to see that we can be being filled continually with the Spirit of God by looking at some things. Don't want to stay on that long. Look at we won't read it, but verse 23, it starts talking about Moses, and it does for the next three or four verses there. It says, by faith, Moses did this. Well, think about Moses. Moses knew he had a call on his life. Every one of you right now, under the sound of my voice, you know you've got a call on your life. But our trouble is sometimes we get out of step with the Lord. We either drag our feet or we jump too soon. And so Moses, he jumped too soon, and he ended up in a place and a position where an Egyptian lost his life, right? It wasn't murder. He was killed. But it wasn't premeditated murder. But God still, what? Used him. So that could have been a burden all of Moses' life. That what happened to Noah could have been a burden all of his life. But it wasn't. And that's what you and I have got to do. We've got to lay down some things. Stop thinking about what happened in the past. Stop thinking about the trial and the tribulation. Stop thinking about the lies of the enemy. Lay those things down this morning and keep your eyes. Look on Jesus. Let's look at another. And look what he said in verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. Come on. You and I, we've all got a history. But that's what it is. It's a history. But when we give it to Jesus, the blood of the Lamb comes on our life, and our history becomes His story. Come on, we've taught it many times. Our history becomes His story. That's what I want, don't you? That's what we're going to have. And so I'm going to be in a place this morning where I'm going to unload some things. You're going to unload some things. And when we do, it's going to unlock the word of the enemy out of our life, and it's going to load us up with the word of the Lord. Look at verse 32. It talks about the faith of Samson. Samson is a perfect analogy of the end time church. Come on. But God used Samson, and God's going to use the end time church. Amen. And so you and I have got to be in a place and a position that we learn from those mistakes. That's what Romans 15:3 tells us. That's what 1 Corinthians 10 is all about. Learning from the mistakes of others where you and I don't have to make them. So let's get rid of some things. See your value of who you are in Christ. Not in what you do or don't do. Not in what you have done or haven't done. But who you are in Jesus. Jesus said you was worth his life. God said you was worth the blood of his son. Amen. And so that's your value. Look what he said. And he said in the last part of that verse, and of David, the faith of David. Come on. David was called as a young shepherd boy. And he had to battle and wait 14 years before he become king. And then after he become king, all of a sudden, later on, he got in a trouble and a situation with Bathsheba. We all know all about that. And it become a burden to him. And it was a curse on him and his family. But you and I have got to see that we've got to cast all those things aside and say, I'm not going to let that mistake hound me. I'm not going to let what the enemy has planned for me determine my future, because the Lord is my shepherd. I hear his voice. He's calling me by name. He's leading me to a new place this morning. Amen. I'm going to unload all of those things. I'm going to cast my care. I'm going to cast my burden on the Lord. And when we do that, it'll change everything. Now notice what he said back to our text, verse number 2, and we're going to break this down. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You and I can rejoice this morning because Jesus come to seek and to save that which was lost. He finished it. He said, it is finished. John 19:30. And then he sat down. Come on, your Lord, your Savior, sitting down on the right hand of the Father this morning. And so it doesn't matter what situation you're dealing with, you're struggling with. It doesn't matter what the devil's trying to put on you. You and I this morning, we can unload it. Come on, we can unload it with the help of the Holy Ghost by obeying the Word of God. You and I have got to stop praying about some things and simply believe we receive and speak it out. Amen. Say what God says. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. Now let's see, Romans chapter 13, and I want you to remember these three things. We're going to talk about no deadheading, and we're going to talk about you either K-N-O-W, no deception, and then you have N-O, no deception, or if you don't K-N-O-W deception, you're going to have deception, amen? And then lastly, we're going to look at new desires. We're going to look at these three things and finish out our sermon this morning, but I want you to see something. Romans 13, start reading in verse number 12. Romans chapter 13, verse number 12. Remember, he said, lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us. We're going to use look at that same word, laying aside. Look at verse number 12. Romans 13:12. The night is far spent. Aren't you glad? Come on, the day of the Lord's coming. The day of the Lord's coming, amen? And so you and I, we're walking in darkness in this world, but you and I, we're not of this world. We are the light of the world. Jesus said so. And so this night, this trial, this struggle, this time period, it's going to pass away. And as it passes away, you and I are going to live in eternity with our Father, with our Savior, by the power of the Spirit. Amen. What a hope we've got. But look what the Word says. He said, the night is far spent. The day is at hand, the day of the Lord. Let us, so you and I have got to do something. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. This is the same Greek word, lay aside every weight that would so easily beset us, that weight and that sin that would so easily beset us. So he said, you and I, we've got to make a decision. I need to cast off the works of darkness. That means I've got to unload some things. You say, well, Greg, we're all Christians here this morning. What are you talking about, the works of darkness? Everywhere in your life this morning, everywhere in my life this morning, that I am loaded up with a lie of the enemy, that's a work of darkness. You say, well, there's no lie in my life. You know, the greatest deception is self-deception. We got to be very cautious because you and I, we're climbing the ladder of sanctification. We're being pruned and purged by the Word of God. Amen. We're being changed moment by moment with obedience. Now, as you and I see that He gives us this command, says, cast off the works of darkness. So let's think about that just for a minute. What might be a work of darkness that would be attacking us this morning on 2022, this year of great turmoil? Come on, you can't turn on the television without some sort of confusion, without some sort of work of fear, without some sort of work of division, without some sort of work of hate. Come on, it's there. That's a work of darkness. And so if you and I, if we look at the situation that we're seeing on the television and we hate what they're doing, that's okay. We're supposed to do that. But if we let the enemy cause us to hate them, then we've got a work of darkness in our life and God can't use us. And not only can He not use us, but that loads me down with a self-judgmental spirit. And now I'm bound. I'm bound because now I'm causing God's hands to be tied and He has to judge me the way I'm judging them. Come on, that's a work of darkness. Right now, there's a lot of hate and a lot of bigotry going on where we look at things where people are different from us. Well, the reason why they're different, they haven't met Jesus yet. You and I, we have got a call on our life, and that call is we got to introduce them to Jesus. We got to get them saved. We got to get them born again. Not that we can do anything but obey the Lord. Right? He said, what do we do? He said, we take this gospel message. Come on, good news. Let's stop talking about what's wrong. Everybody in the right mind knows what's wrong. Let's talk about what's right. I'll tell you what's right. Jesus is set down. Come on. The great high priest of yours and I, He never sat down until it's done. So everything that you have need of in your life, everything I have need of in my life, it is done this morning. Amen. And so let's cast off some work of darkness. And let's say, Spirit of God, distill my mind and help me. Help me to see some things in my life where the devil's working, where see the devil, he'll get on your shoulder and he'll start talking about what's wrong with your spouse. He'll talking about what's wrong with your children. He'll start talking about what's wrong with your neighbor. He'll start talking about all of these things because he wants you to be so caught up in what somebody's doing or saying that you can't see what God's doing. You can't hear what God's saying. Amen. And so we got to cast that off. Notice what he said. He said, let us, therefore, cast off the works of darkness. And now, what do we do? And let us put on the armor of light. Glory. See, everybody wants something from the Lord. We all do, if we'll be honest. And like I've shared with you many times, I spent so much of my life down at an altar begging. And God couldn't give it to me because begging ain't faith. Begging ain't faith. And I need to be in the place and position where I receive by faith, but I've got to unload. I've got to make some room in this vessel to receive what God has for me. So I've got to unload the lie. I've got to unload the judgmental spirit. I've got to unload the things that's going on all around me that would be a weight, that would be a burden, where God can fill me up. And when He fills me up, it's a truth that makes me free. It unlocks me. Amen. I want to be unlocked, don't you? All right. Now notice what he said. Let us put on the armor of light. See, like I told you, I'd get down and I'd beg God for His promises. And I didn't have nobody to teach me. I didn't know that I thought I was doing so good because I was down here praying for this certain thing over and over, depending on what time of the time period of my life we're dealing with. I don't have to beg God for anything. I'm not a beggar. You're not a beggar. You are a child of God. Come on, if you have believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you're a child of God. And that means everything that Jesus owns. Come on, that's scripture, Romans 8. You're an heir of God, but you're a joint heir with Jesus. Amen? See, it's yours this morning. And so I need to put on the armor of light. So what do? I unload those lies and I let that truth come into my life. I say, Spirit of God, let that light shine in this part of my load. Come on. The Spirit of God wants to lighten your load this morning. He wants to lighten my load. Amen. But we've got to hear it. We've got to receive it. We've got to take it for our own. Verse 13. Let us, once again, the emphasis is not on God. It's not on Jesus. Not on the Holy Spirit. It's on us. Let us walk honestly as in the day. In other words, every step I take, I need to realize I'm one heartbeat or one sounding of the trumpet from the Lord. If I walk where I'm one heartbeat away, one sounding of the trumpet away from the Lord, I know that the day of the Lord is right there. Come on. The membrane that is separating us from the eternity, it's thinner than it's ever been. Come on. We're pushing through it. We're getting to that time period and we need to be ready. But if I walk as that day, then all of a sudden I'll start putting on the armor of light. In other words, God's light will protect me. Jesus is that light. He will protect me. He will keep me from the lies. He'll keep me from the deception. He'll keep me from the work and the plan of the enemy. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantingness, not in strife and envy. Now think about that verse. Right there you see it. It is compound. It is running rampant. I've never seen it in my life like we're seeing it right now. This verse, you see it being lived out everywhere in the negative. Amen. Not the positive, but the negative. So what does that tell you and I? That tells us the devil knows, even like Revelation 12 tells us, that his time is short. And so he is on a rampage. He's trying to get as many souls as he can at this moment of time. He's trying to get everything out of step and out of time. But you and I have got to stand strong in the Lord, and we've got to see the time frame we're living in. Don't be discouraged, but rather lift up our hands and praise God and say, "You let me live in this time. Come on, I see the day of the Lord is at hand. I see this time. I'm not going to be burdened down by what I see. I'm going to let people be changed by the truth that God is speaking out." Come on, you and I, we can change some things because the God that you and I know, He's a God of love. He is the Father of mercies. He's the God of all comfort. Amen. He's wanting to work in and through your life. And so we're not going to be burdened down by what we see. We're going to get excited because we're going to know that we have run our race. Come on. That's what he said. Our race, we're getting to that part where the exciting part, like Brother Corey was talking about, where the reward is coming. Now look what he said in verse number 14. So you put off the last part of 13 and you put on verse 14, you empty out, you fill up, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now think about that. What a statement. Me, I know myself without Jesus. You know, I know that without Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know without Jesus, I'm a filthy sinner. I know all of those things, but in Jesus, all of those things has been done away with. Come on, I'm a new creature. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The blood of Jesus is on me. And my testimony is that Jesus' blood speaks for me. Your testimony is Jesus' blood speaks for you. Amen. And so he says, I need to put on Jesus. So this morning, now I'm trusting the Holy Ghost because I don't want to get in the flesh and I never want to say anything out of turn. But there's some things in your life you need to hear this morning by the Spirit of God and let him show you some things that you need to unload and let Jesus replace that. And if you'll let Jesus replace it, it'll change your attitude. And if it changes your attitude, it's going to change your action. Come on, I want my actions to match up with the Lord, don't you? That's what's going to happen because we're going to let that truth come in there. It's the little bitty thoughts. It's the little bitty words that produce the action that pulls us either away from God or pull us to God. It's not the big things. It's the moment by moment things. Amen. And so he gave us the command. He said, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So if I'll be honest with you, come on. I my flesh wants what it wants. And if I can make a way for it, I'll make a way for it. Come on, in the natural, the old man. The old man is my enemy. The old man is every Christian's enemy. Amen? And so he gives us a command here. He said, it's either going to be one of two ways. I can't have it both ways. See, the way of a transgressor is hard. When we try to live in and we try to live out. And that's what, I forgot to say that. That's what the Spirit of God said. He said, my people are trying to live in two worlds. We can't do that because, see, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're living in this world, but our life. Yeah. Come on, that's what the Holy Ghost said. We're living in this world, but our life is in Jesus in the eternal world, the eternal realm. Amen. And my grandma, my mama Lucille, she used to always say, man, everything's so busy, I'm meeting myself going. You know, that's the way it is. Well, that's why we get in trouble. Because we're trying to go too fast. We're trying to do too many things at once. And we don't need to do that. Amen. We need to be in the place and position where I need to put on Jesus. So I'm believing this morning that if you'll just steel your hearts, if you'll just listen in your spirit, God's going to show you some little subtle little things that's going to make you a greater overcomer. It's going to give you a place of peace like you've never had. Give you a place of victory. See, it's the little things that create the big things. You and I, we worry about something that the spirit of this world tries to show us. And he's so good at manipulating the situation where he'll come to you and he'll say, well, that's the spirit of God warning you. That's the spirit of God preparing you. I don't know how many times I've heard that. The Bible says greater is that Holy Spirit, that Spirit that is in you, right? 1 John 4:4, than he that is in the world. But the only way you and I can overcome is 1 John 4:1, try the spirits to see whether they be of God or not. You try it, and if it don't match up the Holy Spirit, you have dominion over it. Amen? I have dominion over it. All right, let's go to the book of James, and let's see something. See, while you're turning there, let me quickly say, now see what he said. You put off and then you put on. You know, it made me think about when I was praying about this because you know, when we was done certain jobs, it always worked out good. Like if we were hauling out material and then hauling in material, you got to make your count. You know, you got it to count both ways. A lot of times we may make in a cut. Like when we've done the school down at Russellville, and you'd fill up with what you're taking the cut out, the mud, the dirt that wouldn't good, that wouldn't pack, you take it out, and then you bring in, the good dirt. Well, you get paid both ways. You know what I mean? So that's what we want to do. We don't want a deadhead. We want to realize, hey, I've got an eternity to live in Jesus, but I can live, like Brother Corey was talking about, in that eternity right now. Amen. All right, James chapter 1, for sake of time, look at verse 21. It says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Notice what he says. And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now we talk about this verse all the time, but remember your soul is your mind, will, and your emotions. It's the personality of your spirit. It's your personality. And so when you get born again, as we say many times, you get a brand new spirit, but you got the same old soul, you got the same old body. And so you have to do Romans 12:1. You've got to renew your mind. Your soul, your mind, will, and emotions by the word of God to be able to overcome some things. And what do you do then when you receive that word? Look, you empty out of the world's word and you take in the Savior. And then verse 22 happens. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. See, I've got to let the word of God be my gauge. See, if the Bible says that I'm supposed to have the peace of God that passeth all understanding, and I'm sitting here wearing my hands out, I haven't received the word. So I need to repent of that. I need to renounce that. I need to unload that worry. I need to unload that fear. And I need to say, Lord, give me a word for my situation that I'm in right now. If you're in a place where you're sitting there and you're in unforgiveness, you're thinking about what's every once in a while when that person's mentioned or a certain word or a certain fragrance or a certain place reminds you of something that happened in your life, something that somebody did or said or whatever. Come on. That's a work of darkness. That's something that you haven't unloaded. And if you hadn't unloaded it, if I hadn't unloaded it, I can't receive the engrafted word. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. The Bible says I'm supposed to walk in love. Amen. So I need to step back and I need to say, Lord, I'm just going to be honest with you. I've got an issue with this person. I've got an issue with this situation. Come on. I want to empty that out and I want to receive. I want to receive the engrafted word which will save myself. All of a sudden then, it'll change your attitude. It'll change your actions. I want to act and think like the Lord, don't you? We can do it because you are a Christian. Amen. You are the little G God in this earth. You are of Jesus. Amen. Prodigy. And so you can walk like him. And the Bible says that we are to walk even as he walked. So it's available for us. Now drop down and look at verse 26. If any man, and you know there's no gender intended here, any human among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. See, self-deception, as I said earlier, that's the greatest deception. That's why Jesus said over and over in Matthew 24 and Mark 13, take heed that no man, me, myself, take heed that no man deceive you. Amen. And so right now, here's where we're at. The two ways to be deceived is we've got a whole generation right now of people that they refuse to believe the truth. That's where we're at right now. Yeah, but they're changing the meaning of words. They're changing traditions. They're changing everything about our society as fast as they can. And so, but that's sad and that's true. But the other way that you're deceived is when you refuse to believe the truth. You say, well, I would never refuse to believe the truth. Every command in here that you and I are not doing, you say, well, we're saved by grace. We're not living by law. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about sanctification. I'm talking about having power in your life. See, the level of power in your life is determined by your level of obedience. But be ye doers of the word, and not only deceiving your own selves, because why? If any man among you seem to be religious, verse 26, and bridleth not his own tongue, he deceiveth his own heart. This man, this person's religion, their faith, their confidence is in vain. And notice what he said, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Action and attitude comes together. So you and I will be in the place and the position where we'll start saying what Jesus says. In other words, we'll start believing we can do what Jesus said. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. We'll believe that we can do that. He said, feed the hungry. We're believing we can do that. Come on, he's walking with us baby steps, but we're doing it little by little. Amen. He said, clothe the naked. Come, all of us, we're working together, amen? We're the part of the family of God, and we're doing what we can do at our growth period, and he's honoring that. So let's let him honor that even more by what? By being pruned, by being sanctified, by climbing to that next level, amen? He said that if we would do that, that would be pure, and it would be undefiled before God. Now, he's talking to Christians here. So I want to be in that place. I know that you want to be in that place. And so I've got to see that I've got to K-N-O-W. I've got to know deception where I will have N-O, no deception. See, we look in the garden. We won't turn there, but you know the story very well. That's how the serpent got into Adam and Eve's life. He twisted deception. The devil is twisting deception right now. He's making people believe that certain sin is not sin anymore. Sin is sin. It hasn't never changed. God hasn't. If you look in the back of your Bible or look at the back of your Bible app, you see an addendum. There's not one. God spoke this word out. It'll never change. It's the same. It's always going to be the same because God don't make mistakes. So when somebody tells you, say, well, that's the God of the Old Testament. We just got to know where we're living. Amen? Okay, go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. And let's look at something here. Now we're talking about a new desire that happens in your life. Look at 1 Peter, what did I say? 5, I meant 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse number 1. Now we're talking about emptying out, unloading so we can become unlocked. Look what he says. Wherefore, 1 Peter 2 and 1, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakings. Now notice there's five things. Now I want you to get this. We'll look in a minute at verse 2, but I want you to see how the work of the flesh, the work of the world, the work of the devil is five times heavier than the things of Jesus. He gave us five things here before he said for you and I to receive the word. We've got to unload of these things. And you notice how he knew there was a great problem? Because he put all malice, all guile, and then he put all evil speakings. Because you and I, if we're not careful, we can get rid of some things. But other things we try to hold on to. All means it's the whole. So I've got to see that I can never have the Spirit of God is. I see a tear on Jesus' cheek this morning. Amen. And the tear is there because you and I were holding on to something that is keeping us from His best. We're holding on to one thing when God's got the best thing. We're looking to what we want when God says, "I've got what you need." Amen. I want to get rid of all of that. I want what the Spirit of God wants. Don't you? I've got to be in that place where I trust the Lord. I let the Spirit of God help me to crucify this flesh, and by faith I receive. Verse number 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. See, we unload from this thing that would hurt us and hinder us, and we fill up with what will make us grow, what's best for us. You know, The grandkids, they cause you to look back over your life as a parent, and they put in your heart the strongest desire to wish you could go back and do things different. Wish that you could be the kind of parent that you could be now, because you're matured, you've grown, you've changed, and I love it how that the grandkids. You know, they'll be talking about something and they'll say, because mama said so, because daddy said so. That's the way it's supposed to be. As newborn babe. In other words, because they believe mom and daddy. We need to believe our Father in heaven. Let's believe Him. And let's believe that He's got the best thing for us. Amen. He said if we would let Him, He would put a desire in us. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Just taste this morning and He'll put that desire, that craving in your life, in my life. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Come on, you need to start telling the devil, devil, I'm too big for that. I'm not falling for that. I didn't understand it last week. I understand it today. My mind has been expanded. It has been sanctified by the Spirit of God. No, devil, I'm not picking up that luggage. I see it for what it is. I'm carrying the Spirit of God. I'm carrying the Word of truth. Amen? He said in verse number 3, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, better said, since you've tasted God's grace, you know how good it is. And you know that He only has good things for you. Now notice what happens here. Stay with me. I just got you just a little bit more. To whom coming as unto a living stone, talking about Jesus, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Jesus is that living stone. Amen. He's the stone that you're building your life on. I'm building my life on. But here is why we've got to this morning unload where we can be in our place. Look what He said in verse number 5. Ye, say He's talking about me, also as lively stones. Come on, you're to be just like Jesus because you're of Jesus. Come on, He's the original lively stone. He's the living stone. You're alive in Him. As lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, if we had a rock wall here, you got all of it. You start at the foundation. The foundation is Jesus. And you start building up. You look at the book of Revelation and you look at the walls of Jerusalem, that great city, and you look at the pearls of the gate of pearls and all of those things. But you look, everything is built on Jesus. All right. But I may be built on you, or you may be built on me. So if I'm burdened down with something other than the truth of the Word of God, and you're built on me, come on, I'm not a blessing to you. I'm not a help to you. There's a problem there. There's something there that's missing. In other words, God wants you and I to be one with Jesus, just the way God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is one, where everything can flow. See, Brother Ryan, put Galatians 6:2, I think it is. You and I, we are to bear one another's burdens. See, if I'm burdened down with lies, if I'm burdened down with self, if I'm burdened down with deception, I can't help bear your burden. But I'm on the living stone, and now I'm like the living stone, you're like the living stone, and I can help carry your burden. You can help carry my burden. Amen? Yeah, Galatians 6:2. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Once again, it's not a suggestion, it's a command. Because what is the law of Christ? The love law. Come on. So tell the devil, say, there ain't no world's moss gonna grow on this stone. Come on. You're being washed in the blood, amen? Nothing can grow on you, nothing can weight you down, and you're gonna be able to be a pillar in the house of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, help holding up the work of God. Amen. In closing, go with me to Acts 13. I want to leave you with something that will make you run and jump for joy. Acts 13. Look at, for sake of time, this is, look at verses 38 and 39. This is talking about Jesus. And look what it says. It says in verse 38, it says, "But be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, through Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." See, we've heard that so much that we just let it go over the top of our head. Jesus Christ is your Redeemer. Jesus Christ is your Justifier. And because you have heard this man, you've heard Jesus walk in this same flesh body as you and yet overcome, you can overcome this morning. He's your victory. He's your hope. And when you accept and when you call upon him and you accept, that blood comes on your life, you're forgiven. It's just as you never sinned. So don't let the devil burden you down with your past. Don't look, as we look at that, those cloud of witnesses, don't let that thing determine what you can do. What you can do is what God is telling you you can do. Amen. Look at verse 39. "And by him, by this Lord Jesus Christ, by this Savior, by Christ as Savior, by him, all that believe." Do you believe this morning? Yes. "Yes. "And by him, all that believe are justified." Come on, you're justified. God doesn't know about what the devil's trying to weight you down with. Don't get mad at me. He don't care. Because if it's been put in the blood, it's gone. Now, if it hasn't been put in the blood, he cares very much because he cares for you. He cares for me and he wants to help us. "And by him, all that believe are justified from some things." How many things? You mean the worst thing I've ever done or said or thought? You mean even the curse that is in my family line? All things? "And by him, all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." Come on, we're living by grace. We're in the dispensation of grace. So simply receive by faith. Amen? It's what Jesus has made possible in your life, in my life. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to close with this thought. About 45 years ago, my grandpa and I, we were swimming up at the Dixon Hole, and we found this stone. It had been rolled and rolled and rolled and rolled. Look at it. Larry, it weighs about 12 ounces. I weighed it. Now, in your life, in my life, can you see that? That's a BB. Come on. Your burden starts as a BB. And that BB is a little uncomfortable in your shoe. Think about it in your shoe. You know, you walk, you feel it. Everybody's had a rock in their shoe. Well, that's when we don't obey the word of God, when we don't do what God says. It's like a BB. But all of a sudden, that little BB, it gets getting bigger. Because, see, one act of disobedience, one act of not following the word of God, it adds to another and another and another. And before long, can you imagine walking on this? But I said that to say this, because in the Civil War, the average cannonball, they had all different sizes, but the average one that they used more than any was 12 pounds. Can you imagine a 12-pound burden cannonball? And think about that, wherever they went, they had to carry all these cannonballs because they had to have something to attack the enemy with. You say, well, what has that got to do with me? See, you and I, we get loaded down with hurt, anger, disappointment, confusion, whatever it might be. And we keep it there because when we're around that person, I've got my cannonball. If they say anything, I'm going to be ready. And so before long, we got a problem with this person. We got a problem with this situation. We got a problem here. We got a problem there. And we're carrying all of this artillery because I'm going to be ready. And it will eventually kill you. In 2008, there was a man named Sam White. He's 53 years old. From the time he was just a young boy, he loved everything about the Civil War. And he would go to old battlefields and he would just take a metal detector and he would go and he would hunt different artifacts and things. Finally, all of a sudden, he got so excited. He found a cannonball. The only problem was it wasn't a normal cannonball. It was a cannonball that was full of gunpowder and pellets. He had that cannonball in his driveway and he had it on the tailgate of his truck and he was cleaning it all up. It was going to be his greatest Civil War treasure. And all of a sudden, he dropped the ball. When he dropped the ball, he lost his life. It exploded and it killed him. See, when you and I carry these things, listen by the Spirit of God this morning. When we carry these things, sooner or later, you're going to drop the ball. What's in there is going to come out. Jesus said, what's in the heart will finally come out. And when it comes out, it may not do what you think it's going to do, but it will always do something to you. And ultimately, if you and I don't deal with it, it will kill us. So this morning, the Spirit of God desperately wants to help you and I to unload for some things. You know very well how much we love you, how much we appreciate you, and you know that we never do anything to embarrass you. But this morning, it's very important for some of you that is here that you need to come. And you need to make yourself an altar, but it's nobody else's business. It's just yours and the Lord. And you need to let the Spirit of God help you get rid of some things. There's some hidden things that's causing you problems that you don't even realize. Some of you, it's causing you problems in your body. Others, it's causing problems in your mind. But ultimately, what it's really causing is a problem with you and the relationship you have with Jesus. Because that thing has got bigger and more important than what Jesus is. You say, no, it hasn't. Jesus said that if you don't love like I love, if you don't forgive like I forgive, then it's a problem. Don't get mad at me now. Holy Ghost dealt with me all morning. Let's don't miss God. Let's give everything we got to Jesus this morning. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you, we honor you, we lift our hands to you as we humble our heart. We thank you for your sweet presence that we feel this morning. We thank you for an anointing of truth that is going through this congregation of people that you have blood bought, blood washed, that you love. Father, this is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to be in that place, in that situation where we rejoice, where we can be glad therein. We're going to be in that place where we yield to you. We trust you. We empty out. We unload, where you can unlock every prison cell. You can unlock every ability to be able to see and hear, Lord, what you have for us. Let it be. We ask you in Jesus' name. Would you come this morning? Make yourself an altar at these altars, or make yourself an altar at your chair, but don't miss the Lord this morning. I'm telling you, some of you, like I'm going to say it just like I said it last week, you're coming to a new season in your life, and to be able to flourish in that season in your life, you've got to let God get rid of some things, bring some healing and some deliverance in some things. Would you do that in Jesus' name?